Does the Old Testament predict the coming of Jesus in Daniel 9? Welcome to Probe. Today we continue our discussions on the Gospel, 1844, and the Judgment, and we're into Daniel 9. I'd like to toss that question out, but first of all, let me read a sobering quote to keep my conversation partners here from jumping in over their heads. It's a C.S. Lewis quote, having to do with the messianic predictions. And I think we need to recognize that if we ask the question of how people responded to Jesus' presentation of his messianic mission, they didn't believe it. They rejected it. It wasn't until after the resurrection that they saw the picture. Now, let me give you this quote from C.S. Lewis. Actually, it was in a time of deep depression when he wrote this. His wife had died. It's in his little book, A Grief Observed. He says, "My idea of God is not a divine idea. It has to be shattered time after time. He shatters it himself. Could we not almost say that this shattering is one of the marks of his presence? The incarnation is the supreme example. It leaves all previous ideas of the Messiah in ruins." Now, my question. Do we have a prediction of the coming of Jesus in Daniel 9? Christians have clearly interpreted that way, but let's nuance that. What does that mean?
Well, to me, just to wade in here initially, to me it does make sense. Again, I'm looking after the fact, but when I look at the prophecy there in the latter half of Daniel 7, the 490-year prophecy, or 77s, or however we want to look at that, there do seem to be some amazing kinds of correlations.
So,
I think we could look at that and say there's a prediction of the coming of Jesus.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's put in those words, but it does. Daniel 9 seems to push history up to the end, to the point where the kingdom of God comes. And from a New Testament perspective, I would describe that as the day of Jesus' return.
Now, one of the intriguing things is that the application of this prophecy to Jesus doesn't come until many hundreds of years afterwards, especially with the dates that we have been using. So the application is something which is discovered later, and that's something perhaps that we want to keep in mind when we try to build too strong an argument on this particular passage. But let me back up to another question. Last time we ran out of time, we were talking about Daniel 8, and we talked about how people were implying part of Daniel 8 to Antiochus Epiphanes, 168, 165, that time period. But the prophecy, the time period that Daniel was tussling with, he was tussling with the question, the 2300 days. Okay? 2300 literal days? 2300 years?
Again, it depends on who you are.
Yep.
Yeah, I see Paul is right. Is it people answer this question based on the kind of presuppositions they have already adopted from a historicist point of view, that this represents real time, although not real days. That they are symbolic days covering, in this particular case, 2,300 years. Bridging from the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem up until it works out time-wise to 1844. That's what led Adventists to declare that, you know, the there was something new and distinct happening from that point on.
Okay. Now, let's pick up a couple of things that we've noted earlier. Daniel 8 applies to the time of the end. That is absolutely clear. And there are a couple of clues in Daniel 9 that the interpretation in Daniel 9 is linked with the vision in Daniel 8. What are those specific indicators that bind these two chapters together?
Just a couple of things right off. It's the same angel.
Yeah.
And there's a reference to the vision. And the closest vision to that is the one in Daniel 8.
It's almost like Daniel is still pondering, trying to figure out the one in chapter 8, and so now the angel comes again.
And the only feature that wasn't explained in Daniel 8 was a time factor.
Was a time factor.
That's right.
And this one then deals with time.
That's right.
And I might note here that even though the dates are all over the place, all schools of interpreters deal with this as weeks of years. Whether or not they buy into the day-year principle or not, all schools of interpreters would see this as a longer period of time, not just 2,300 days, which is at least when they get into the 70 weeks prophecy, they would see the 70 weeks.
Yeah, and does it not say evenings and mornings and not specifically days?
Yes.
Yes, and there are some who try to trim that down and apply that to Antiochus Epiphanes' 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the problem is, it doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, for those who want to see this business all coming out of the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, there is one great huge puzzle. That at the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they came to light, Dead Sea Scroll community was about the time, was alive about the time that Antiochus Epiphanes was causing the problems. In fact, they had moved into the wilderness to get away from some of the ghastly stuff that was happening in Jerusalem. And scholars of the critical perspective, who do not believe Daniel is predicting, cannot believe that so many copies of the book of Daniel appeared so soon after it was written.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's there, and that's really quite an intriguing incident. So as you look at it, it's clear that the book of Daniel had real meaning for those people. It had meaning for Jesus' day. But now, let's move ahead after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Jesus is clearly applying that. What sanctuary is there left? What are your options if you're going to say that this chapter does apply to a real time of the end? What are our two options?
Sanctuary in heaven.
And the sanctuary in Jerusalem.
Or the sanctuary in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And our dispensationalist friends believe that it will be a restored Jerusalem sanctuary that is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Adventists go cosmic on this and want
That's
to say
right.
that the issues that have been played out in individual lives and in the interaction of these governing entities from ancient times and the people they serve, that those become illustrative of the struggle between good and evil on a larger scale that will be settled by the judgment.
And I think that's terribly important, because to see this as a continuous flow all the way through, there's no justification in the text for taking that 7 weeks and putting it down at the end of time.
No.
It flows. And what's really intriguing, Mervyn Maxwell in his commentary on Daniel points out what happens within the 70 weeks and what happens after the 70 weeks. I think it's really worth noting those. Within the 70 weeks, it's dealing with the people. If you read those last few verses in Daniel 9, it finishes transgression, it puts an end to sin, to atone for iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
That would apply to Jesus' life and death ministry during the time he was on earth. But then outside the 70 weeks, there are three other things it's mentioned. To bring in everlasting righteousness,
mm-hmm.
to seal the vision in the prophet, and to anoint a most holy. See, that seems to be beyond the 70 weeks, and that would then take us down towards the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Daniel 8 and 9 point to a restoration, mm-hmm. Putting right of the sanctuary. And I think that that's something which we need to keep in mind as a very positive application of the particular chapter.
I don't think it should be surprising or viewed as being some crazy form of interpretation to even link the judgment. The judgment also is linked to the good name of God, not just the good name of the people, but the good name of God. And to see in Daniel 8 and 9 this progression, and Daniel 2, to see this progression all the way to the conclusion of all these things, I think is a very powerful and I think right way of understanding these chapters in the book of Daniel. And they are admittedly difficult to understand. You know, when you start figuring out all these calculations of times and all this kind of stuff, and then you start reading the scholars on it, you will end up in a state of confusion.
Even if you can read the commentaries, it's difficult.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew itself, I have some sources that say this is probably the most challenging Hebrew anywhere in the Old Testament.
So maybe God was trying to prevent us from trying to figure out the day and the time of his coming, which is always the temptation when you sit and look at this.
That's an interesting point. Let's just reflect on that very point. How important should we see this material in view of the fact that ordinary people of ordinary ability or no education or can't read, in view of the fact that you have people like that, what should we make of Daniel 8 and 9?
I think we need to keep reminding ourselves of the basic point of the story.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think applies to everyone, whether or not they are literate or good at math. They can understand that, kind of the end of the story and what God's trying to accomplish with history. And I think those are the things that we should emphasize over and over again.
Yeah,
and those things are not unclear.
They're not unclear. They're very clear.
Yeah, right. And it seems to me that for us to be caught up overtly with trying to figure out the time of Jesus coming is something that we ought to avoid. Mm-hmm. Especially in view of Jesus' word, it'll never be known anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we do to try and figure this out may lend a sense of urgency to living, which is fine, but to actually try and pin it down, I think, is a mistake.
Yeah. We'll have opportunity to talk more about the 70 weeks next week when we discuss this topic, and it will, again, be part of the application in the future as well. So we want you to tune in and listen again. Want to thank Dave and Paul for helping us in our discussion. Want to thank also our program engineer, Susan Michael. And we want to thank each of you for listening in. For Probe, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.